before, right? So I'm the owner, and you haven't built me a house yet. And I've done all this for you. I brought you back from Babylon, everything. And you guys haven't built my house yet. He continues on with, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, and you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages does so to put them in a hole, in a bag with holes." So, again, it's another direct parallel to what Americans today do, right? We work, and we work, and we work, and we work, and then we get to the end of our lives, and we go, what do we have to show for it? I have a bunch of loans still for my house, and I'm still trying to pay these things off, and I'm not satisfied, right? This, yes, this is no. All right, everybody's got it. So, another parallel with just direct into our culture, right? So, and God mentions this right here in that it's, my house lies in ruin. So, in a book right here, God's Word, it says that we are to be the temple of God, right? After the destruction of the temple, we are to be the temple of God. So what is your house, what does your house of God look like? What does your relationship with God look like compared to the rest of your life? These people have returned to a country that they had been gone from for 70 years, probably in ruins, no houses, no roads, no businesses. And they decided that before they would build the center of their life, they would go ahead and build everything else. So like a bucket, if you take a bucket full of rocks and things, or if you take a bucket and you want to fill it up with rocks and water, what do you put in first? The rocks, right? So you can put the water in later and it fills up. So let's play God as the rocks and the water is you. Or the water is everything else in life, right? So if you start by filling up the bucket with water and then you put the rocks in, the water's going to come out as you put the rocks in, right? It's not the main ingredient. The main ingredient are the rocks, God, the book. So that's what these people did in their lives. They took what they thought was important, not what God thought was important, and they put it before God. So they put their work, they put their schoolwork, they put their friends, hanging out with people. And this translates over into, so Sunday morning, I woke up, and I'm tired, and I got a headache, but I don't want to go to church. I went to church last week, right? I don't want to get up to go to Sunday school because it's supposed to be there at 7 o'clock, and it sounds much easier to, or you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, and it sounds much easier to get there at 11 for, you know, church service. Or Wednesdays, I don't want to be there because I've got other things going on. I've got tons of homework that's due tomorrow.
Procrastinate, not do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, do we do this? And I'm the first to tell you I do. When it comes to reading the Bible, I don't really know I should be reading my Bible, but that TV sure does look tempting because I want to watch the new Walking Dead. Man, I don't want to. And I struggle with it too. So what concludes this? What's our solution? So we look here in the next verses, coming on over to verse 12. We have Zerubbabel. What it says is, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of the S word, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God." Now I ask you, why are these two individuals named? Probably because they were the leaders, right? In all the books of the Bible, you have Daniel, you have Joshua, who was young. You have Daniel, who was young when he came over to Babylon. You have David, who was young when he slayed the giant. Who does God go to for change? Now, I'm not trying to be personal here, but it's probably not your 40 to 60-year-olds. You guys, right? It's going to be the young people who are able to get up and get around. Right? So, not like that. Not. I know Tommy Bruce can get up and get around. We're good. But he goes to the youth, right? That's who God calls to go out and make disciples, right? He didn't go to old Saul to go kill the giant. Why was that? Because Saul had already gone through and he was set in his ways. Who's easily molded to fit God and what he wants him to do? It's the youth. Because, right? That's why you go to school when you're young, because it's easier to teach you. Right? Well, except in Johnny's case, but you know. So God has called the youth, like in this story, to go out and make a change. And what does that change look like? That change looks like getting up and doing things like this tonight. And right now, I can tell you, I am nervous. You can't see it, but like my entire insides want to crawl into that corner and just sit there. But we're up here because God is behind me. And you know what? I want to see this more from the youth, not just in youth service, but in every day. You go into school, I don't want to see us walk around and hang out with the rest of your school like you're your school, because you know what? You're different. And that's not because you're different. It's because God's made a difference in you. Because if you didn't make a difference in you, you'd look just like everybody else. A sinner going to hell. And you know what? I can't stand thinking about any of y'all going to hell. And any of the people at school, right? Your best friend, if they're not saved, you know where they're going? Just think about it. It makes you a little, it gets you a little emotional, don't it? Because you know what? They may die tomorrow and you will never see them again. And so our call as young Christians and as the youth of today and tomorrow is to make a change. Our nation now is in one of the worst states it's ever been in. And why is that? It's because the youth of tomorrow, the church of tomorrow, hasn't decided to make a change today. And so I challenge our youth to go make that change. And I challenge the adults to support them. As it says here in Timothy, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, and older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, in all purity. And then I go to Timothy 4:11. It says, command and teach all these things, and let no one despise you for your youth. But set the believers as an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which has been given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things and immerse yourselves in them so that all may see your progress. And keep close watch on yourselves and on the teachings. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I take this verse right here as a personal thing for our youth. I want to see you guys go out and command and teach in the ways that Paul and Timothy and Peter did. In the way, because God's still God and nothing's changed, so I wonder why we haven't seen anything today that you saw then. And that makes me question, what have I done wrong? That why don't I see that change? And that's because I need to change things in my own life. And I think that's the same for all of us in this room. To be more specific, this is a scripture that's been on my heart this week, is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, and to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, planted in the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, and they shall rise up the former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. So with that, I conclude my message today. And if you guys want, we're going to give an altar call here in a moment. I'd ask Maddie, would you come up here and sing that song again? I know it's on the spot, but That song is like right here in my head. So, but yeah, so.
There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before you knew it was love, and I saw chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore.
You know, watching a young man step up here and do that, he's never done that. And that was a very good message. Amen. Thank you very much, Tyler. You know, I was talking with a pastor one time, and I was standing looking at a youth group singing, and I said, you know, this reminds me that there's still hope. And he stopped me, and he said, well, it's close. He said, they are the hope. That's what we have. There are still young men and young women that will stand and preach God's word and sing for him and do such great things. And it's coming from Hiram First Baptist Youth, and I can't help but feel joy every time I see it. And right now, there's going to be another young man come up here now and ask for the closing prayer over this. But before we're done, one more time, I'd like to give Brother Tyler Runyon a round of applause. Guys, I want to thank you for coming. And if you've enjoyed this, we have a youth meeting every single Wednesday night. Sometimes there's as many as 40 in there. The only thing that would be better than 40 is 45. We'd love to have you. We have an adult service in this room. The youth service is over in the trailer. And we have a blast. We do cut up. And there's going to be a sign up for several things in the foyer when you leave. There'll be for the Winter Jam. It's a concert in Atlanta. I really, really encourage you to bring your children to that. We'll have a good time. It will be escorted. We're not just going to turn them loose. That'd be a horrible idea. Also, there is a Boston Butt Sale. I know Miss Christie's mentioned this. Those are tickets are for sale for that as well. And also, the taco dinner, it comes up at the end of this month, I believe. Is that correct? The end of this month. If you're interested in coming, please sign up because we need to get an idea of how much food to buy. And we're going to have a good time. I think we'll enjoy it heavily. All right, and with that, again, thank you very much, Tyler. Matthew, would you come up and close us out in prayer? Thank you for coming.
Let's pray. God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for the sermon that was brought. I just thank you for everyone in here. I thank you for the youth group. Thank you for the church, God. I just thank you for the blessings that you've poured on us, God, and I pray that you just continue to do so. Pray that you just keep us safe as we go home, as we go our separate ways, God, and just bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.